going to orphans in Kenya. There is things happening in other parts of the world, including a church plant in Cambodia. And right now, even in India, there are evangelists and church planters being supported. So know that what you give and what you do and pray, it's all the same. Whether you go, whether you pray, whether you send, you're one of the people that sends one of the team members, whatever that looks like, you have a part of the reward in all that. The pay is the same. That's what the Bible says. Amen. So I want to just talk a little bit. I would like you to turn to Acts chapter 8, if you will, in your Bibles. I'm just going to preach a short message. Acts chapter 8. Now listen, if you've never gone through the book of Acts, I really want to encourage you, go through the book of Acts. I love it because to me, it is just ordinary men and women like you and I fulfilling the Great Commission. And there are signs and wonders are breaking out in the book of Acts. I mean, it is a radical book. And you see how God sort of brings revival to a city. You know, silver and gold I have not, but what I have I give to you. Boom, be healed. 3,000 people are added to the church. You know, God does church growth just a little bit different than a lot of us think. And so he does it through signs and wonders and lots of different things. We see real discipleship in the book of Acts, mentoring. We also see there in the book of Acts the actual cost of following Jesus. You'll see the struggles. You'll see things that you go, why did these guys sign up for this? And you might even ask yourself that. But when you actually begin to go through the book of Acts and you begin to see the radical things God does, you also begin to see these men and women that were humble. They loved Jesus. They knew that eternity was actually hanging in the balance. And so they were compelled by the love of God and the power of God to go and preach Christ and just obeying the Lord, some of them even unto death. So it's a powerful thing, and I just really want to encourage you. So we're going to start with Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And let me just pray. Lord, I pray right now that as this word goes forth, your word, Lord, you put this particular story in here for a reason. And I just pray that it would impact and apprehend our hearts, Lord, as we go into your word in Jesus' name. Now, let's go ahead and read it. Acts 1, it says, now Saul was consenting to his death, Stephen's death. And at the time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were scattered throughout the region of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc on the churches, entering every house and dragging them off, men and women, and committing them to prison. And then I'm going to skip this story. I want to go right to verse 26. Actually, Daniel preached on that story. It was really good. Verse 6, chapter 8. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south along the road which goes down to Jerusalem, to Gaza. This is desert. And he rose and went. And behold, a man from Ethiopia, a eunuch, had great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had a charge over all the treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning. And sitting in the chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture where he was reading said this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter and as a lamb before the shearers and silent. So he opened his mouth, and in his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, whom does the prophet say this? Is it of himself or some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And now when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on rejoicing. Amen. You know, this is such a powerful story, and I love this story for many reasons. You know, just a quick overview. Basically, here's the church. It's being persecuted by Paul. Stephen's just been martyred. The church is beginning to scatter. But here comes Philip. And Philip goes into Samaria and begins to preach Christ. And I love this story because Philip, if you don't know, is one of the first evangelists and a missionary. This is a missionary story. And he goes out, and he starts preaching in Samaria, and it says, when the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention. When you go around casting out demons and healing the sick, guess what? People are going to start paying close attention. They're going to start looking at you going, what is going on? And sure enough, revival breaks out in Samaria. If you want to know what revival looks like, then you're going to see it. We see it all the time. Revival looks like people getting healed and delivered and saved. That's what revival looks like. When the kingdom of God comes, people get healed, their demons are cast out in the name of Jesus Christ, and they start coming to the Lord. And that's what we saw on these trips, and that's what we've seen in our own city. And you know, Samaria was only about as far as Los Angeles. From where they were, that's how far it was. Now, if you're on foot, that's a long ways. But, you know, we have cars, so it doesn't seem so long. And our radios and our air conditioning. So it's not the same. But the reality is that was quite a distance for them. And here he is in the midst of revival, and an angel tells him to go out of this revival to one man. And here he goes. And what I love about him is he was the first missionary, really, to Africa. And I'm not saying that that was Ethiopia at the time. We know that that was not the case. But this particular tribe, really, the area that they were in was more like the Sudan, more like the Sudanese. But we do know that it was dark-skinned people that he went to. And that's what I love. I love this because God is right here in this moment beginning to fulfill his mandate and his desire that the gospel be preached through every single nation. Every tribe, tongue, and nation would know Jesus. And here it is, Philip, this one guy, you know, God calls him out. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him won't perish. Amen? And so he begins to do this. And what is amazing to me is Philip himself is in the midst of a revival. This city's on fire. People are getting saved. And God says, okay, leave. Now, that doesn't seem quite right. And I'm sure people were asking, what are you doing? It's revival. Where are you going? But you know what this shows me? This shows me that, again, God leaves the 99 and goes for the one. He is still about the one. You know, and this one divine appointment is about to impact a nation. And it's interesting, too, you know, Joseph brought this up and so did Stuart. You know, wasn't it interesting that an angel told Philip to go? And why didn't the Lord just send an angel to the Ethiopian? Why did an angel tell Philip to go? You know why? Because God has decided to do this thing through you and me. He's decided that we are going to co-labor with him, that we have the privilege of being able to go out and preach the gospel. We have the privilege of going to our neighbor and our co-worker. We have the privilege of going to Jerusalem and the uttermost parts of the earth. We have the honor, we have the privilege of co-laboring with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I don't know why he did it that way. I mean, it would be easier to just send an angel with a sickle and go, whew. But that's not the way God decided to do it, because he does things through relationship. And he loves you guys. And he wants to have a relationship with you. And he wants to do kingdom in relationship with you. It's so powerful to me. You know, the other thing is the Lord will go to great lengths for one person that's seeking him. He will go to great lengths for one person seeking him. He knew the eunuch's heart, and he sends his best. He takes his best evangelist out of Ethiopia, I mean, out of Samaria, and sends him to this Ethiopian man. And, you know, this is something, you know, people come with this all the time for me. You know, well, Kathy, you know, short-term missions, you're sending people out, it costs a lot of money. What's the best investment for the dollar? We need to, and you guys, I have a missions organization. I know. I wrestle with this myself. What is the best investment? God, we're spending this money. It's someone else's money. I want to do what's right. I want to make the best investment, da-da-da-da-da. And the Lord began to tell me, look, any investment in the kingdom of God is a good investment. And I mean, I was getting it down to how many dollars per soul, because I was thinking, you know, I want to be wise with my money. And then one day I had a dream, and in the dream I was at a water cooler, and I looked inside of it and I saw that there was Tang. T-A-N-G. Now, some of you that are older, you know what Tang is. Some of you are younger, like, what is that? But basically, it's a drink that you mix with water, a power drink, vitamin C drink, and the astronauts took it to the moon or something. But anyway, so there was this Tang, and I filled my cup, and I began to drink my Tang, and a man by the name of Judah Smith walks up to me, and he is a pastor at a church called Generation Church in Washington, and he came up to me in the dream and he said, so you're going to the Middle East? And I looked at him. I am not going to the Persian Gulf. And I thought, wow, that's weird. I said the Persian Gulf, and then he points to me and he goes, yes, you will, and you'll go to other nations too. And I was shocked, because that is the last place any woman ever wants to go, is the Middle East. I mean, I just did not want to go. I was in the airport and could feel the oppression and was like, Lord, I never want to go. Now I changed it. Now I go, Lord, never send me to Hawaii. You know, but you can't, you can't use reverse psychology on God, okay? It didn't work like that. But anyway, so what happened is, We were drinking this Tang in the dream, and we only know one couple in the Middle East, and I'm not going to say any more about that, where they are or any of that, but just to say that we ended up contacting them, and they said, Kathy, did you know that the national drink of this country is Tang? Did you know that when people leave and come back, they bring as a gift someone Tang? And I said, Oh, man, this really was God. And so anyway, about a year later, we found ourselves there doing some training and equipping. And Stuart was doing deliverance appointments and training a team there. And the next thing we knew, there was a woman in the meeting. And the woman that was in this meeting had just gotten saved 6 months prior. And somebody had brought her, but she, you know, she didn't know very much. She'd only 6 months in the Lord. And I remember she came up to me and she said, you know, after hearing you guys talk, I'm wondering, you know, here's my story. She tells me her story. Do you think I have a demon? And I said, oh, absolutely. And you definitely have a demon. And you know, I'm very blunt like that. And so she said, I need to get rid of this demon. And I said, well, let's figure out an appointment for you and pray for you. Well, what ended up happening is we were completely booked. The only time we had was our time to kind of see the area, our tourist time. But instead, we ended up going to this woman's house, apartment in a high-rise building across from a huge mosque. And we ended up taking this woman through deliverance. It was so powerful. God did so much in her life. And she said to us, she goes, I think that you came all the way here just for me. And I looked at her, and Stuart and I looked at each other, and we go, you know what? We think we came all the way here just for you. And then she goes in the kitchen. She comes out. She goes, I don't know why I bought this, but I wanted to give you guys some Tang. Would you like some Tang? Now, that was a lot of money to go there, okay? It was a lot for us to do this, to raise the money, get the supporters, get the prayer team, and get over there. But God will do extravagant things for just one. And it was so amazing, too, because we ended up discipling with her on Facebook. She ended up, she was an Indian woman. She was from India. Her parents, she had gotten married. Her husband worked there, so they came over. And anyway, she ended up going back. She said, I had a dream, and I can see all the demonic warfare around my family's home. And do you think I should go and cast out demons and do all this stuff? And we're like, no, bring the kingdom of God. What about your family? And it turned out her family didn't know Christ. Not only did she get on a plane and fly all the way to India to see her family, she led them all to the Lord and they burned their idols. One person. And you know, this is what Philip did. He went trusting the Lord in total obedience to God, leaving revival in a city. I'm sure people were like, what are you doing? I had someone say to me one time, Kathy, why would you go and be a stick of dynamite when you can be a part of something nuclear? But you know, you guys, I got to tell you something. You hear, you pray, you discern, and you obey. And it doesn't matter if you're part of something nuclear or a little stick of dynamite. Because in the end, you stand alone before the Lord. Amen? And you got to answer for what he told you to do. And the thing I love about Philip, too, in this story is he was naturally supernatural. I mean, really, the supernatural was happening all around him. And this angel comes and tells him to go. The Holy Spirit says, take over that chariot. Philip has this boldness on him to approach a chariot. I mean, I don't even know if that was right. I mean, can you approach a dignitary's chariot in the middle of the desert like that? Was that something you were even allowed to do? I'm not sure. But Philip had a boldness on him because he knew the Spirit told him, go do it, and he did it. But the thing that was so natural about Philip is Philip just simply asked the guy a question. He had a conversational exchange with this man. And I always tell people this all the time. If you want to break into a conversation, just ask a question. Hey, what happened to your leg? We were at Mimi's the other day, the pastor's having lunch, and we had a meeting. And I remember I was just talking to I got a word of knowledge. This young girl wants to go to college. She was the hostess, and I looked at her, and I said, wow, you're working hard, but you really want to go to college, don't you? She goes, yes, I do, and she began to pour her heart out, and she wanted to have a child care center, and she wanted to do it with this, and she was raised in the church, and she was blessed with a center, you know, actually went to a child care place in a church, and it impacted her entire life, and now that's what she wants to do. So we prayed right there at Mimi's. It was simply a question. Conversational, and that's what Philip did. He did a question, but also, as you can see in the scripture, Philip knew the word of God. He had a revelation through the power of the Spirit. He could articulate the gospel. He could preach Christ. And every single one of us, let it be known about Blessed, we could preach Christ. We can articulate the gospel. We could tell you what we believe. And we can tell you the good news and why you need to receive Jesus as your Lord. And let it be said of us that we can also demonstrate it as well. We don't preach in just words, but in a demonstration of power, we can do it. And that's, I want to see that happen with all of us. And also, I love this guy from Ethiopia because he was so hungry. He was teachable. You know, he was ready. He was a seeker of the Lord, and the Lord knew he was and sent his best. See, the Lord knows who's ready to receive Christ. And this guy got so saved that they're going by water. And he goes, wait, why can't I be baptized? And Philip's like, well, yeah, you can. Look, you know, you believe, you believe. Let's go do it. I remember somebody came to me and said, hey, I led my niece and my nephew to the Lord, and I've been discipling them, but I've been waiting for the church to have a baptism. I said, find a swimming pool now. So they had a big party. They baptized their relatives in the name of Jesus Christ, and it was awesome. They went on to be fiery evangelists for the Lord. They ended up leading all their friends to Christ and started a ministry in this local church. It was just a crazy story. But that's what God did. He apprehended them. And so I just want to just close with a couple little points. I'm making this short because I have some other things I want to talk about. But Philip was naturally supernatural, and I so want to see us operating this. I just want to see us open up our hearts, our mouths, and just talk to people in conversation. You know what I mean? And be able to demonstrate the gospel. And also, you know, pay attention to what the Lord's saying. Pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Pay attention to every single person that you're encountering this week. You're going to have divine appointments this week. God is going to set you up if you will just tune in and listen to the Holy Spirit. He's going to do it today and this week. I'm telling you, you guys are going to come to me with testimonies. I'm declaring that over you. You know, and also in the end, Philip was obedient. He was obedient to go, whether it's to the neighbor or to the nations. You know, Blessed International, I mean, first of all, the name, International. We know the nations are here in our midst. The nations will come here. It's been prophesied. Bill Hammond gave us that word. We are going to go to the nations. We are going to go to the nations, and the nations are going to come to us. And we know that prophetically, and it's already being fulfilled. So when you hear about a team going, get on board. When you hear a team needs money or somebody needs financing to send, send them. And don't forget to pray. We felt such a grace on our trip to Ghana, and we know what it's like to go out with prayer covering and without it. And I'm telling you, it is night and day. So when you pray, it makes a difference. It has a huge impact. So you can pray, you can go, or you can finance and send. And also, one of the things I loved about this story, just as a reminder, is it's God's heart. That regardless of nationality, race, or culture, it's his heart that all men be saved. There is a task and a commission we've been given, and it is to go. And he will have every tribe, tongue, and nation worship him. He'll have it. He'll do it. And we have the privilege of co-laboring with him in this area. And it's not a waste of money to invest in the kingdom of God. So why would we go to China where there's lost people? Why do we go to some places in the world? Well, guess what? There is no difference to God. I don't care if it's someone in your cubicle or someone in the uttermost parts of a village in China. He has come to save them all, every single one of them. And we have the privilege of investing not only locally, but being able to go to unreached peoples who never have an opportunity to hear the name of Jesus. There are 2,100 languages that don't even have the Word of God. There's a lot going on right now. God is moving in some powerful ways. But no investment in the kingdom of God is ever a waste. And I want to be like Philip, even to the point of obedience. I mean, he left a thriving ministry, a revival. He left his comfortable, you know, realms. People leave homes. They leave their creature comforts. They left things to go and preach the gospel. Some of them were being persecuted and scattered. And listen, how do you think the United States has a foundation of Christianity? Because there were missionaries who sacrificed all. They got on boats. They left their country. They left their nations. They left their families. They lost loved ones on the ship coming over. And you are sitting where you are today because they sowed their lives for the sake of the gospel. Amen. And I want to do that. Listen, when we stand before the Lord, I don't know about you, but I want to be obedient like Philip. I want to do whatever the Holy Spirit tells me to do. Because in the end, I want to stand before the Lord and I want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I want to hear it. If it's praying for the sick one day, if it's talking to a woman at Mimi's, or it's going to a remote village in Ghana, I want to just hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Amen. Amen. Okay. Before we transition, I just want to share with you guys just a few things, some statistics on missions that you might not be aware of. My source is the Joshua Project. Some of you might be aware of it. It's a huge study. And also the Center of Study of Global Christianity, Cordon Conwell Theological Seminary. So let me give you some statistics. We have not finished the task. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. And when we think of nations, we think of it in terms of people groups, okay? These are different people groups, not necessarily nation boundary lines that we have today. Those are forever changing, depend on who the ruling party is at that time. They can always change. We just saw Sudan split in half. So I'm not talking about boundary lines. I'm talking about ethnic people groups. And right now there are 7,000 people groups, 34 in Asia alone, that are completely unreached. What that means is 2% or less even know Christ. There is about 5,900 out of that 7,000 that live in absolute restricted access areas. Okay? Most of them are in that 1040 window, which is predominantly dominated by Hinduism, Buddhism, and Muslim. 86% of the world's Hindu, Muslims, and Buddhists have never even met someone that follows Christ. 86%. These guys from India, they know. They just met him. So what is happening in the world today, even among Christians? Well, the Christian world in 2010, it was estimated there's 2.18 billion Christians in the world, about one-third of the population. And 1 billion of those are Roman Catholics. 800 million are Protestants, and about 200 million are Orthodox Christians. Protestant being charismatics and evangelicals. And even among them, the fastest growing group is evangelicals, which makes sense because evangelicals emphasize evangelism. And so more, and you may not even know this, but you know, that's huge. You realize that we have a task. We have a lot of things to do, both here and abroad. And it's I'm so excited. I feel like, you know, this is why, one of the reasons Stuart and I are here. And I believe that God sent us here for many reasons, but one of the reasons is that this church has a mandate for the nations. This church, if you look in our congregation, represents the nations. We are all about every people group, every tribe, tongue, and nation coming to Christ. Here's an interesting fact you might not know, but more Christians were martyred in the 20th century than in previous 19 centuries combined. Matter of fact, every 24 hours, 480 Christians are martyred for their faith. We have a house of prayer that's committed to praying for the nations. And that house of prayer is going to pray for the persecuted church as well. We need to pray for the nations. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ that are in other parts of the world. What is the fastest growing religion in the world right now? Can you guess it? It's Islam. Islam, even though there's more believers, Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world right now. Why is that? One of the reasons is money. I mean, it really is finances. They are sowing in huge amounts of money, taking land, building churches. There may be two people in the church, but they're gaining a presence and they're evangelizing just like the Roman Catholics did. They're building hospitals, they're building schools, and they're building churches. We know it also comes through their family and the population as well, but I think primarily what we've seen in the nation, Stuart and I, because we actually have a passion and a heart to see Muslims come to Christ, is we see that it also comes through the oil money. What about missionaries? What's going on? Well, you know, from 1985 to 2008, long-term missionaries, 4+ years sent out by the U.S., has been flatlining and declining. The U.S. is sending less and less missionaries. But who is sending missionaries? Well, you know what? It's on the rise. The people that are sending the most missionaries right now are in Latin America, Korea, the Philippines, even India. Even the Christians that are persecuted and are rising up out of India and seeing the mandate of the gospel, and they're going. What do they have to lose? Nothing, you know? And so they're going. For every dollar of Christian giving to all causes, how much goes to financing church planting among unreached people groups? Unreached. Unreached meaning less than 2%, and most of that nation doesn't have a church or anything. Well, guess what? Less than a penny. About 3/4 of a penny goes to the unreached people groups. I'm so grateful that Blessed has, you know, and Ryan and Joanne have a passion to reach the unreached, that you guys are even currently planting churches in what's predominantly unreached areas, that together we are literally reaching into these places. And you know, it's a huge thing. And I wanted to share some of these statistics with you because I think it's important for all of us to get a picture of what's really going on out here in the world. And, you know, our vision is, our mandate is basically go. Go and make disciples of all nations. That is not Ryan and Joanne's idea or Kathy the mission pastor. That's your Bible. That's what Jesus said to do. That's a mandate over every church and every person that belongs to Jesus. And it's such an honor and a privilege. Did you know that the vision of the Coca-Cola company is to put a can of Coke in the hands of every single person in the world? And they're almost there, and they've almost done it, because they're focused. They know their vision, they know their mandate, and they pull their resources and they do it. And I want to see the same thing happen with us. I want us to just really understand and get God's heart and mandate for the nations. And I want to close with this video, and then I'm going to ask you to just, through this video, pray, because some of you are actually called to go, not just short-term, but really called to go. And I believe there's going to be short-term and long-term missionaries sent from this place. And some of you, you need God's heart for the lost. You're called to go right to your neighbor. There's somebody here, you've even got a neighbor, they're pregnant, there's problems with the kids, something's going on. Pay attention, you've got some divine appointments going this week. So let's just close with this video, and then we're going to pray.
So count the cost, brothers and sisters, this is not an invitation to an easy life. For 2,000 years, thousands and thousands of missionaries, the unnamed, no biographies written about them, just unnamed people of whom the world is not worthy, have counted this cost and put their lives at risk and reached the lost with the only message of salvation.
Gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. And I want to challenge us and you individually. I want to challenge you this morning. I want you to come forward. I want you to tell the Lord, here I am, send me. I want you, if it's on your heart, Lord, here's my business. Use it to send others. If you have a burden to pray for the nation, whatever that is for you, I know that God is sending out a commissioning call today. I know he told me that he's going to commission some of you and he's calling you today. And if that's you, I just want you to come up front right now. We're going to pray and we're going to lay hands on you. So come on up. If that's you, you know that you're called to the lost, you're called to the nations. We all are, but some of you, you know, just line up here. You know, even as I'm talking, some of you can't even contain it. I've been watching you. Some of you are weeping as I was talking because this is impacting you so much. Because God's doing something really special in your hearts. And I just want someone to come and play the keyboard. If someone on the worship team. Some of you are going to go. You're going to go. You're going to go, you're going to go, and you're going to go. You're going to go on a team. You're going to go a short-term mission. Some of you know you're called to longer-term missions. Some of you know that you're called to impact your neighborhoods. We all are. Every single person sitting out there, you are called to impact your neighborhood. You are called to impact your families and those people. But I feel like some of you guys that are up here, it's really about the nations. There's something in you that is burning for the nations. And I just want Stuart and Ryan and all those that led the team this year and Joanne to come up and just begin to release this. This is part of your destiny. This is part of the destiny of Blessed International, that we as a people group, we are going to impact. This church is going to have an impact in the nations. And we're going to all have the privilege of being part of that. And so I'm just going to pray a general prayer, and then we're going to come through and we're just going to lay hands. And you know, God's heart is wrecking you right now. You know, we want to be compelled by love and clothed in power for the lost and for the nations. And so, Father, we come before you. Look at us. Our hearts are laid open before you, God. We're standing in front of you right now, and we're saying, give us the nations. This is your heart. This is why you died, that every man, woman, and child would know you. You came that all men might be saved. And we are standing here with our hearts laid bare, and we're saying, God, let us be a people obedient to the Great Commission, to the call that you have to Jerusalem and Judea and even the uttermost parts. And Lord, we just tell you that we are also willing to let go of our creature comforts. We'll forego the vacation we saved up for. We'll forego the bigger house. We'll forego the second car, the third car. We'll forego, and we'll sow it towards the poor and towards the nations and the things that you want to do. We are committing our finances. We are committing our lives to this great commission afresh. And we are saying, Lord, here am I. Send me. And so, Holy Spirit, just release just that impartation. Lord, that impartation, just let it come. Let it come. The Holy Spirit's moving on so many of you already. We're just going to let the Spirit do what he wants to do. Just invite the Holy Spirit. Just come right now. Say, Jesus, here I am. You know my heart. Touch my heart with the things that touch yours. In Jesus' name.
I just feel like the Lord is saying that some of you have come here today just in need of healing or in need of God's voice and touch in your life. But, you know, I just feel like that the Lord is turning our focus on his heart and his desire, that it is not really about us, but that as we put our focus on Him and what is breaking in His heart right now, that as we respond to this, that His promise is that if we seek Him and His kingdom, all these things, all the things that we are in need of, they shall be added unto us. And I just want to call, just as even as we stand, to just turn our focus on the Lord and just say, yes, Lord, we just give our all to You and our plans and everything that we are doing, and just refocusing and coming back to that the purpose of it all was for His kingdom and His desires. So Lord, we just come to You right now and fill us right now with a burning heart, that even now that you're burning for all these lost people, oh God, we are saved by Your grace, not so that we can live on this earth in the way that we'd like to live, Father God, but You've saved us, Father God, so that we can take this gospel in the lifespan that we have, whether it's 40 years or 60 years, Father God, to lay ourselves down for the sake of gospel for You, Father God, to use our lives, everything that we are, our breathing, oh God, and our health and our finances and our job and the things that we do, oh God, for Your name's sake and for people to be saved and healed, Lord Jesus. And oh God, we come and we respond to Your call right now today, Lord God, and stand, Lord, and we give up, we commit our lives to You, that it will not be about ourselves again, Lord God, that we would, oh God, live and we would make a decision, Father God, for the sake of the gospel that You have called us, oh God, into. Oh God, there's no other reason that we are alive and will live 30, 40, 50 more years, Father God. Just a good life on this earth, but Lord, You have called us and saved us, and we live on this earth with everything that we can have for the sake of the gospel. We want to refocus, Father God, refocus our desires and our will and our decision in Your heart, Lord, and just come and wreck us with Your Spirit right now. Fill us up with a fresh new vision, a fresh new desire and commitment to pray for the lost and to go out for the lost and do all the things, Lord God, we do. Our everyday life into Your hands, recommitting to preaching and teaching all of these things, our church activities, Father God, we commit it again for not for ourselves, for You, but for You, Jesus. Fill us up.
Just continue to pray. And I think even as you're sitting there in your seats, God will reveal to you what your mission field is. I believe everyone's called as a missionary. Maybe some of you are called to the youth of this generation. There's so many youth running around, not knowing directions in their life. And they're just as lost as the Muslims and the Hindus out there in the world. Maybe that's what God is calling you for. I just want you to pray right now. Lord, I know You called me as a missionary. What is my mission field? Maybe it's in your business world, or maybe it's in your homes. Maybe you have a missions calling to the housewives, whatever it may be. I just want you to ask. Even everybody standing up here, God, reveal to me, what is my mission field? Where do You want me to go? Because here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me, Lord. I believe God wants to use every single one of us to reach all the lost souls. Not just out there in the third world countries, but here in America. Maybe some of you have a call to the single mothers, or even to the single fathers. Just ask God. God, send the Spirit of revelation upon us. just reveal to us. I know that we're supposed to preach the gospel everywhere we go, but if there's a specific group that you are sending me to, Lord, reveal that to me now. Reveal that to each person now, Lord. People who have a calling to reach out to CEOs. People who have a calling to reach out to the African American kids or the Asian kids or the people in the slums or people who are millionaires, even to Hollywood. Lord, I just ask that you reveal the missions call for all these people, that everyone in this room, Lord, that you would use to reach thousands of souls. Lord, we have 200 people in this room, Lord. Let there be over 1,000 people that come to the Lord as a result of the work of each and every single person, Lord. At least 1,000, that we would reach at least 200,000 people. At least, Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Lord, we can't do this on our own. We need your power, Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord.